Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while the judge refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to God's own elect who are crying out day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. So, Friday night, I was gathered with some very dear friends, and we were around the dining room table having a variety of pastas for dinner, some great red sauces, and we began to say our prayer when one of our company, a seven-year-old friend of ours, asked, "Why do we pray to someone whom we cannot see?" That's a good question. Tough at dinner time, however. But it strikes me that Jesus has an answer this morning. Our lesson starts out about the need to pray always. Why? So not to lose heart. The widow was alone in the world. She had lost her husband. She had no other family. We're pretty sure of this, that she had no children, had no sons, for if she had, they would have been advocating for her. They would have been speaking for her before this judge. They would have taken up her part. So in her isolation, she was vulnerable and really had no voice in that society. No one to speak for her. She was silenced, it seems. And with no one to take her part, and this was a common affliction for the widows of the age, she was oppressed and exploited. An easy mark, you might say, by the heartless. Heartless opponents who used her weakness to exploit her and rob her of life. So, who wouldn't lose heart? Who wouldn't lose faith? Who wouldn't lose God? Jacob is alone. In the ancient story, Jacob has sent his family across the river, and he remains on one side by himself. He is alone. And all this is occurring because he's on the run. He's fleeing in fear from his brother Esau, whom you remember Jacob cheated out of his birthright, out of his blessing. And so he has this great fear that Esau will hunt him down and do grievous harm to him. He is, in fact, in fear for his life and for the life of his whole family, for that matter. Who would not lose heart? How often do we not feel alone, or that we are losing heart, perhaps in the face of a deep loss, or injustice, or because we recognize our own failures, so that prayer seems futile or unanswered? The Jacob story of wrestling with the question of God, wrestling with the very mystery of God, wrestling with the identity of God by the riverside, didn't just pop up overnight. This was centuries in the making, centuries in the telling and retelling, centuries, if you will, in the wrestling with this whole idea of why we are to pray, why are we to call on God whom we cannot see. Centuries of individuals and communities wrestling with this question of God and a hope, even a demand for a blessing, for a promise of life, for a connection to life. In Jacob's persistence in the story, we see that his old fearful self of deception, his cheating self, limps away. But now he is newly created through his own persistence. He would not let go. He wrestled persistently, demanded a blessing. I will not let you go. I will not let the idea of you go until you bless me. The widow, unnamed, unknown, persistently wrestles also against those who devalue and exploit her, trusting that she too is a child of God, embraced by God's care, listened to when she calls. She too will not let go until she is blessed, until she receives justice. Her heart was true and faithful, and it changed the reality. The judge, even though he neither feared God nor had respect for others, gave her justice. I wonder, is there a lesson for us in these days? Persistence in prayer is a consistent theme in Scripture. You might remember, knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given. The story earlier in the Gospel of Luke where somebody knocks at the door and says, hey, a friend of mine has come at this ungodly hour and I need 3 loaves of bread. Person didn't want to do it, but it was persistence. Same kind of theme, being persistent. It's an encouragement to keep wrestling with God despite our doubts, despite our inability to see. Again, I'm reminded of the dinner Friday night with a very insightful 7-year-old who asked that question, why do we pray to someone we cannot see? We hope for an answer. We wrestle for a blessing. My one answer to him and to you all is keep asking the question, keep wrestling, so that an answer will come. Be persistent. The widow was disconnected by the inhumanity and godlessness of society. She came in her need for the just acknowledgement that she also was a child of God. Jacob, on the other hand, was disconnected by his deceptive action against his brothers and against God's own will. He came in his need for forgiveness and transformation, not to be abandoned in his sin. My 7-year-old friend speaks, even prays for many. How can we be connected to the one whom we cannot see? Prayer is a wrestling, a struggle. Prayer is a persistent confrontation to experience the divine vitality of life, the promise of God, to feel a connection. Prayer may wound us, may leave us limping. We cry out night and day. Jesus was sent for us to see, to experience. At the table, for one thing. He was sent to answer our prayer. For the widow to be found in the heart of God, to be included in the true realm and community of God. For Jacob to be forgiven and transformed, to no longer deceive and oppress, to hold on to God in community. For us to take heart, to be found when lost, to be forgiven in our failures and deceptions against one another, even against God. For it turns out that Jesus is persistently for us. Jesus is wounded for us. Jesus prays for us. In fact, Jesus is the living prayer for us. His life is prayer. In Christ Jesus, God quickly grants justice, grants forgiveness, grants an embrace into the community of God. In Christ Jesus, God stands with the widow. God forgives the deceiver. God answers our questions. On the cross, Jesus stands with and even embraces the victim, the widow, the oppressed, the lost. God's righteousness, God's justice is for all. Jesus says in the 19th chapter, in that story of Zacchaeus, who was lost, he was sure. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save the lost. But on the cross also, Jesus bears the wounds of all our deceptions, of all the ways we have not been righteous or just to others and to God's will. God's blessing in Christ Jesus is forgiveness and the promise of life. God's answer to the prayer, God's answer to my 7-year-old friend's question is Jesus the Christ, who says, I am with you. I am with you always, so that you do not lose heart. And in that faith, that connection, in that relationship to the God of the universe, are we not also called ourselves to be living answers to prayers, to be living answers to those who cry out night and day for help and for hope, to seek and save the lost, to comfort those who cry out, to bring God's presence and the community of God? We pray that we might see the other, our neighbor, our sister, our brother, those at the border, that we might really see ourselves, our purpose, our meaning, our life, that we might see God. The ancient wisdom in the story of Jacob ends with a very curious observation or experience, with Jacob embracing his brother Esau, whom he feared but who now has forgiven him. And Jacob's words are, seeing your face, seeing your forgiveness, I see the face of God. Amen.